Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, the last show of April.
Yeah, it's exciting to know that you're back.
Yeah, I guess you went without me. You left without me. Yeah. You stood me up.
Well, I don't know about that. A lot of people wondering what happened. It's kind of funny, actually, because I don't know if you know about this, but I'm going to start the show off with a quick lesson on some internet code and lingo, okay? You know what this is, right? Sure. HTTP 404 codes.
Yeah, what about it?
Not found, right?
Yeah.
It's an error message in Hypertext Transfer Protocol standard response code in a computer network communication to indicate that a client was able to communicate with a given server, but the server could not find what he was requesting. So now some listeners are suggesting that your mysterious disappearance last week was a hoax since it was episode 404.
Ah, I like our listeners for coming up with stuff like that.
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yep. So last week we discussed a few things. I did a solo and had some participation with the chat room gang and kind of just went over things quickly.
I can see that working. Yeah. The chat room, you know, you could do a Q&A with them. It works.
They were very chatty.
And then we had a lot of people. Room. Hey.
Well, we had a lot of people. I mean, this week is kind of light, but last week we had a lot of people in there. But anyway, let's talk about some of the market here, things that are going on, because we have lots to cover. Last week on the show, we discussed the Netflix blowout earnings. Bank earnings came in, as well as we talked about these half-truths that were going on, that were being spread as gospel. Example is the blackout periods from companies buying back stocks. There was a whole discussion I had about this whole thing that all these people on TV was, the reason markets are down is because stock buybacks, they're in the blackout period. And I discussed it was total hoo-ha, because the blackout period is a five-week period before earnings are released by a company and 2 days afterwards, or 48 hours afterwards. Not every company is in a blackout period. Not every company necessarily is, you know, that as soon as the earnings season starts, we get a pop. So kind of stupid. I talked about a few things there. And last week, we did end up on a down note. Major indices were mixed after trying to follow through on Monday, but that didn't seem to hold for too long. And we had plenty of the usual reasons that we saw some volatility. But the big thing that's happening right now is that bond yields are moving up rapidly. The 10-year closed Friday.
You find that a little peculiar?
No. Well, I mean, I do. Why?
It's not playing to the bond collapse scenario.
It is playing to the bond collapse. Bond yields are moving up. Bonds are collapsing. Oh. Bond yields are moving up.
Oh, so the prices are going down.
Mm-hmm. So,
what am I thinking?
Yeah, there's an inverse, just for everybody listening.
I know. I was confused there. It was old man confusion. It happens to everybody.
Well, we saw that the 10-year closed, the 10-year treasury, which is something I watch quite regularly, closed at the highest level since 2004 on Friday. And today it closed right about 3%, which is a majorly important psychological level. That 3% levels, you know, because the thing is, and I had a discussion on the Discipline Investor podcast in depth about this last week. The problem is that when you do discount models and you do valuation models on stocks, you use what's called a risk-free factor. And you put that in the calculation to find out what's the true valuation based on if you could invest in a risk-free investment comparatively. And what happens is that now you have a situation where the risk-free rate goes up, therefore brings down valuations. So the question is this, right? So if you have the choice to invest in a stock that, let's say, has an opportunity to go up and maybe has a 3% dividend yield, and rates are, I'm just picking this out, you know, 6% guaranteed CD, that makes it more of a difficult decision between the stock and the CD, where if the CD is paying 0.02.
Right, why bother?
Yeah, no brainer. But buyers have been pretty, you know, still pretty bullish, even though markets have been having a tough time coming out of this consolidation range. And this, as I say, dip buying continues until it doesn't, which today was a really good example of that. We saw that markets start up higher on the news of decent earnings. of Caterpillar, and everything looked really good on just the numbers when they came out on the headlines. And then when they went to the conference calls, all hell broke loose. So there was some commentary about price increases, it being the best quarter that they're going to see in terms of earnings. Margins are going to be compressing. Don't forget, aluminum hit like a recent high just last week. Lumber prices an all-time high. So you're seeing that like the housing stocks are getting battered. Caterpillar, which makes a lot of their machines out of, you know, various materials that the price have gone up, whether it's steel, whether it's aluminum, whether it's whatever it is, the price is going up. That crimps their margins. And the midday, we didn't get any help at all today from President Trump, who says that if Iran threatens the U.S., they will pay a price like few countries have ever paid.
Oh, jeez.
Like few countries have. I got to say,
what does that even mean?
I have no idea. What is it? They will pay a price. Well, versus what he said about North Korea that time, right?
Yes, it's kind of the same thing.
Fire and fury will rain down.
Fire and fury, right.
You know, this is, yeah. You need some kind of like spooky music underneath this. You know, the U.S. will pay a price like few countries have ever paid. You need, who is that guy?
The guy has a sense of the melodramatic.
Yeah. But anyway, his wife looked beautiful tonight. There was a nice state dinner this evening with Francis Macron.
Yeah, she apparently organized this whole thing.
Well, that's nice. It's, I'm sure she worked on the menu and on the seating and the...
Yeah, the wine and everything.
Very nice. This is a big week for earnings for tech in particular. We have Facebook, Google, and Microsoft reporting. Google did report. We'll talk about that in a second, but because it's kind of interesting. But I want to kind of just get this chart going, this 10-year treasury. Just want to show you this little trend here.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a chart on DH Unplugged.
It made a run, I guess, February, March. It came back down a little bit. And now this is way up there.
It's tried to do this before. I mean, it's been running all year.
It could go back down.
It definitely can. I wouldn't be too surprised either, because the Fed just has to come out and start walking on the parade of, you know, of Fed chaps and gals and start talking down the whole idea of raising rates as aggressively as they've talked about. Because they're talking about another 6 rates by the time 2019's over. So that's another 1.5% if they just do it by 25 basis points.
Won't they just do it all at once right now?
Yeah, that would piss people off. That would not.
Think?
Yeah, oh yeah. Markets would not be happy. I only remember a few 50 basis point moves historically. I mean, there was a couple back in the day that were probably higher, but they try to do it slowly just to not, you know, the old... Boiling the frog slowly.
Boiling the frog.
Yeah, boiling the frog slowly is probably the best way to do that. Now, Google's earnings came out. I thought this was pretty fascinating because they came out with a headline last night of GAAP EPS of $13.33 versus $9.28. And I was like, wow, ooh, that's pretty impressive, right?
I'd say.
Their earnings, their revenues were $31.15 billion versus $30.28. Okay, so far so good. And I'm thinking, all right, this extra earnings on the EPS scooting down to the bottom line probably has something to do with the taxes and some other things, maybe share count. Well, they don't buy back shares, Google. But then you kind of read a little bit further. So that's the headline. Everybody's all excited, right? They're all excited about this whole big beat, you know, like a 50% beat. Then they looked a little bit further, and I looked down. There's a $3.40 non-recurring item that was also booked. So you got to subtract that out. So it's actually $9.93, which is still better than the $9.28, you know, about 65 cents better. So that's good. Revenues rose about 25% year over year. Impressive. Definitely impressive. And then you start keep reading down and getting more information. Here's where it started falling apart. Ad revenue was 25%. Increase, but their traffic acquisition cost, in other words, what do they spend to get that stuff? 36% increase. They had paid clicks of upwards of 59% year over year, which is good, but the cost per click was down 20%. So when you strip out the one-time charge and you look at what's going on here and the slowdown in, major increase in their spending in order to get the revenue in, that's not a model that can stay.
Well, let's try to explain this to me.
Yeah.
What do they mean by paid clicks? And what do they mean by cost per click?
So the amount of paid clicks, the amount of actually clicks that happened. So click, you know, that's one click.
Yeah, but so they have paid clicks, pay a certain amount of money?
Yeah, it could be anything. It could be, you know, 50 cents for a click. It could be 10 cents a click. It could be $2 a click.
So they made $6.3 billion in clicks.
Yeah, well, yes. On their, yeah, on their well, on their ad revenue, 6.3, where are you getting that from? On the 6.3, the money that they made, the cost to get the acquisition, what they spent for the clicks to get the people to advertise and
okay, so the cost per clicks was $6.3 billion.
Yeah, the cost that they had to pay for the traffic acquisition, yes. What they paid up for it.
See, I'm very suspicious about this.
Why?
First of all, why does Google, of all companies, need to pay for traffic acquisition?
I guess because it goes through. So, for example,
Let me stop you.
Yeah.
Because traffic acquisition usually is done. Adam and I talk about this all the time. It's done by these guys who like to. They put up a website or they put up a podcast. Or they put up something, and nobody wants to look at any of this stuff. So they pay somebody, usually in the Philippines or some scammers, to go to their site and bang on it, and that's traffic acquisition costs.
Yeah, that's
they don't like the sites. They don't want to see the movies. They don't want to read your articles. They don't want to do anything. But they go on there and they bang away. And to me, there's no reason a company like Google should have to do that. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's the third party ads that appear on various pages. When you go somewhere and you see that, well, there's intermediaries involved in this too. But when you go to a page and all of a sudden you've been thinking about eating an apple and somehow magically an apple shows up on your page, right? You know, buy apples from this place. That's a third party that flows through that Google has to pay for the click. Obviously, the advertiser pays Google, but Google pays part of it out. It's kind of like an eBay model or an Amazon model where they have third parties. But I agree with you. I mean, why do they have to do that? I mean, it's why not spread it? But, you know, in the end, it's a pretty good scam. The advertisers are getting fleeced.
Yeah, but the problem is the word that you use there, scam.
Yeah.
Doesn't bode well.
Right. Yeah, so instead of saying traffic acquisition costs, traffic scamming costs, that wouldn't be good.
Now, then we go to this other term, cost per click, down 19%. Is that what they're paying to have somebody click?
That's what somebody...
It's cheaper, now it's down. That's a good thing, isn't it? You said it was a bad thing.
It's the cost per click that it costs an advertiser. So Google, let's say that has... Let's say the cost, when you take all the clicks and you divide them out, and you look at the per click cost. So it's every time somebody clicks, there's a payment that is charged to the advertiser, right? Those are down 19%.
Oh, so they're getting 19% less of those.
Yes, per click, right.
Okay.
Yep. So
I don't think any of these numbers sound good, except that they're so big.
It's a big problem. And a lot of it, I think one of the big reasons they talked about was a lot more money was coming through YouTube. And YouTube was a lower cost platform in terms of the revenue.
Was there any mention of YouTube in the report?
Of course. There's throughout the whole report, there's a discussion of YouTube. And that was one of the other parts of it, that they're lower. A lot of it was a lower margin advertising stream or ad stream that brought in the money. So therefore, even though they brought in more money, and that's why they had a 25% year-over-year increase, that's why their cost per click is down, and somehow the acquisition cost, because they also have to pay on YouTube, the same situation, right? When you have the ads come on, you got to pay the YouTube parties. You have to pay them something.
Well, they're trying to cut that out.
Oh, well.
I mean, they were paying them a lot, now they're paying them nothing.
Yeah, this is a trend. I mean, I'll tell you another thing. For example, this week we looked into the... something came out from Schwab for our clients over at the Schwab Institutional Platform. And they're moving all of our clients from these various money market funds that are paying like 1.2%, 1.1% to what they call Schwab sweep shares. And I looked at this and I saw a couple of notes about this. I'm looking, okay, what's going on? They're starting to move them automatically. because they're closing down these other money markets. Now, why? Well, they're paying 1.1%. Instead of that, they're paying 0.15% on the sweep shares. So all clients are being, any liquid cash that's held in an account is being moved over. And I called them up. I'm like, what's going on? Well, it was a business decision. I'm like, oh, business decision. What does that mean? Well, it seems to me it means the fact is you're ripping off the clients. You know, what you're doing is you're trying to save some money here. Mm. There's no choices, by the way, aside from there are some choices, but we don't want to use them. So now you got, you know, the companies are doing this left and right. They're finding we're down to peak earnings with the potential for cost cutting as the next rip. After cost cutting, you know what comes after that, right?
Besides share buyback?
Well, share buyback.
Layoffs.
Layoffs, exactly. So we'll have to see if that starts playing out. I think this whole tax deal was a major pull forward of the potential for earnings. And, you know, you may have one or two quarters of things that look good, but after that, especially with the tariffs and the high cost of materials and what's going on, I think you're going to have a real problem with the potential for growing earnings.
Yeah, well, these schemes always foul up.
Always. The same thing happened with Caterpillar today. So I mentioned this earlier. Caterpillar beat earnings this morning, raised its outlook. Stock was up like 3%. Then the conference call started, and they said that quarter one will be the high watermark for the year and that margins will compress, probably from the impact of tariffs. Stock was down 6% by the end of the day after being up 5% in the early market. That was a major problem. You know, the Dow was down like 450 points today. And
yes,
that was like 100 points of it right there.
Do you think that what would happen if the CEO or one of these guys, financial guy, comes out in one of these conference calls and the guy asks him something instead of him saying, well, you know, it's going to compress, it's going to do that. The guy says, yeah, who knows?
Yeah, that probably wouldn't sit well. Probably not. We also had 23% of the Dow Jones Industrial Average companies reporting actually today. Travelers missed and the stock was down. 3M beat but guided much lower for fiscal year 18, and that stock took a smack down. I think that was about 130 points on the Dow. Coca-Cola beat handily, but there was some issue about the cost of sugar out of Europe, I think, and the cost of their aluminum cans into the future.
Aluminum cans, that's right. That's what they use.
Verizon met estimates for EPS, beat on revenues, and reaffirmed revenue projections. So there you go. Apple's been a big drag on markets as well. They're another part of the Dow Jones Industrial Average. And the reason for that is because we've seen several downgrades and a few firms slashing iPhone sales estimates recently. I noticed that Curry is doing an experiment trying to get rid of his iPhone.
Yeah, he's failing on this experiment, I should mention. There's been a lot of negative stories about the smartphone business in terms of its total numbers for the next couple of years. So I think it's affecting Apple.
Yeah, we saw that Morgan Stanley's Katie Huberty, slashed her iPhone shipment projections for the quarter ending in June on Friday, citing weakness in China. And Canaccord Genuity also cut iPhone sales forecast and cut his earnings estimates for Apple as well. I mean, they're coming in, you know, like a million plus phones lower on their estimates for the quarter than they have been before. So that's a pretty significant number. I haven't replaced my phone in like two and a half years.
I got a 4-year-old phone.
Yeah. I mean, it's doing just fine. Although the other day, all of a sudden, mysteriously, I couldn't hear anything.
And what phone do you have?
I have the iPhone 6S Plus or something. And, you know, now, I mean, listen, scams are everywhere. So
I'll tell you this, by the way, I'm going to say it. I say it all the time. The new Samsung Galaxy phones have the best sound you'll ever hear on a phone ever.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's like that old pin drop commercial.
Yeah. Maybe we should look into that. But the problem is, I'm so, you know, entrenched in the potential for the whole ecosystem, the Apple ecosystem. And the problem is, you know, when you iMessage and you have groups and stuff and FaceTiming with the family and blah, 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 blah. So it kind of becomes a problem.
It's the idea.
And then I had another situation, talk about scams. So it seemed that my car was making some kind of noise. And I took it and like, oh, it's the catalytic.
What is it you're driving?
A Ford Expedition. I love my truck.
Ford Expedition. Okay.
So what? I have other cars.
No, I'm just saying.
No, you don't like it?
No, it's a fine car. It's just, I don't know what, you know, it seems like a little heavy duty car for Florida.
Well, I mean, I do, you know, today I had a bunch of stuff in the back I had to bring home. You know, I sometimes trailer stuff, you know, got to take kids out of college. You just shove everything in the back of the truck. My son's graduating next week. So everybody's just going to drive up in the truck to Orlando. Very exciting. But I went, they said, oh, it's a catalytic converter. I'm like, all right, well, what's it cost for that? Let me look that up.
Were you seated?
Yeah. He goes, that'd be about $1,600. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, yeah, plus labor. I'm like, no. He goes, let me call around. Calls around and goes, listen.
Wait a minute, hold on, stop.
Yeah.
Why was it making noise?
I guess the catalytic converter was clogged or having problems or done.
Just dump the stuff out and put it back on.
Well, so here's the thing. So they called Ford. Ford wanted $4,000.
Yeah, sounds right.
I'm like, what are you? This is insane.
It's all the platinum in that thing.
So the guy calls me over. He says, listen, go to a muffler shop. These guys can cut it out. Like you said, clean it out, put a new one in. Much different situation. I go to a muffler shop. The guy goes, yeah, we'll cut it out. You got an hour, come down, sit down, give you some coffee. $500, you're done. I'm like, okay, done. But it's like everybody's trying to scam you.
Maybe some legal aspect of the whole thing that is. So did they give you a new, did they just clean it out?
No, they gave me a brand new catalytic converter. Two of them.
For $500?
Two of them. And yeah, because they cut the pipe instead of giving the whole.
I see. They welded a new one. They put one in place instead of pulling out all the everything.
Right.
Ah.
Perfect, right?
Yeah. The dealers won't do all that welding.
Right. These guys were welding, going crazy. I was fascinated by the whole thing. I'm like talking to the guy, he's welding, he's doing. Scares the crap out of me, though. He's welding near the gas tank.
I'll tell you this much, that the dealer or whoever it was that told you to do that, you should really give them a lot of kudos.
Yeah. I actually told the guy about the other guy so they can become friends and get business back and forth. So I was pleased with that.
Like doctors.
Yeah. All right. The Sohn Conference, the Ira Sohn Conference, which is a charity event, was news this week. Many big name managers are there making their best pitch for long and short ideas, which used to have a pretty good impact on stocks. When a name was mentioned, there was a name mentioned. Let's see. A big name hedge fund manager talked about Box as the next in AI, an important component of AI. And I don't know what Box has to do with AI, but you know, the stock was up like 10%. Other than that, you know, a couple other people were short this, long that. Gundlach was long XOM. He was short Facebook. So now the big story this week also, by the way, you've probably been following this, is Bitcoin and the cryptos. Have you been seeing what's going on again?
I have. Well, I mean, I look at it, but I'm not all excited about it one way or the other.
It's pretty exciting.
Shot up again.
Oh, yeah, shot up again. So Bitcoin and other coins have been rallying. This is a chart from like yesterday, but this is Bitcoin Cash. It's about here, about 1,400. But I mean, we're talking about from 600 on April 9th to like 1,400.
Doubler.
Yeah. And this is across the board. You see in these kind of crazy moves.
Yeah.
So the whole thing has been predicated on, well, there's been a lot of tax selling that's been going on. And after tax season, you're going to see a lot of these names start to move again because everybody that was having to pay taxes on their gains from the Bitcoins and the altcoins and all that are selling out so that they can pay their taxes. I call BS, man. That is totally ridiculous. First of all, none of the marketplaces give you 1099s.
Yeah, it's all off the books.
Yeah. I mean, maybe a couple of them do, but generally they don't. So I think that this whole idea they wrapped up this tax selling is over narrative with big names pumping it, like George Soros is like, I'm getting back into it. And then you start getting this thing moving and everybody gets nuts. Get the whole FOMO in full gear. Now, oil's also been on the rise. Have you seen oil?
Actually, this one I have not followed.
It's like $68.
That's too high.
So it's recently hitting the highest levels in years. Now, all of a sudden, first of all, Saudi Arabia, they're still talking about, we are going to probably stay with the production cuts for some time. I've talked about the whole conspiracy theory that it's all about Aramco and their IPO that they pulled, waiting for a better price to put it on the market. Because that company.
Yes, this has been your this has been your position from the beginning.
It's plain as the nose in your face. It's there's no question this is the case. But now all of a sudden that we're starting to see that maybe some supplies are leveling off a little bit. Now all of a sudden the next thing, we got pipeline attacks in Colombia, in Libya. And the Colombia Southern Transandino pipeline was halted after a bomb attack by an illegal armed group. I don't know what kind of, if there's such a thing as a legal armed group, but an illegal armed group spilled crude into the river. We saw the same thing in Libya. And I'm just wondering, is it possible that somebody's paying these groups to do these things?
You mean like the Saudis?
Maybe.
Aramco?
I'm just saying. Seems to me like you want to.
Yeah, it seems like too much of a coincidence.
Much too much of a coincidence. I mean, it's all the time you see this kind of thing when they're trying to pop oil. I only seem to see this when oil moves higher. When the thing is ramping, they start doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah, make it go higher and higher.
Yep. Now, this is a piece for you, by the way. I pulled something for you here. Wine getting some serious bids in a recent auction, a 3-bottle lot of Romane Conti 2012 Domaine de la Romane and a magnum of Henri Jaillet 1990, blah, 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 and a Crow.
It's fun listening to you pronounce Romane Conti.
What'd I say?
You said Romane Conti or something like that. I don't know what you said, but it wasn't right.
All right. It fetched.
That's the most expensive wine in the world.
This is from a guy that mispronounces Biloxi.
I did mispronounce Biloxi. But who in their right mind, if you've never heard it pronounced, would pronounce it Biloxi?
Yeah. Biloxi. What do you call it? Biloxi?
Yeah, Biloxi. That's how it's spelled.
Biloxi. Anyway, those.
I took a lot of grief from that. We had a meetup at a place, and everyone's there. I'm not even from here, and I know how to pronounce it.
That grouping of wines that I mispronounced fetched $45,000 at a Hart Davis Wine Company Burgundy sale in Chicago.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Then another 3 bottles gathered $41,000 or so, and a 1983 6-liter Methuselah, whatever, a la Trache, $31,000.
Latosh.
What do you do? Do you drink these things? Or you just kind of like try to sell them again?
There are some people that will resell these things. They generally are, sometimes they're called, in fact, there are wines called auction wines, which you just trade. You never sell them or buy them. It's like buying, futures. But it's something like that. What was the year on the Latosh?
Latosh was an 83.
Huh.
It was a 6-liter.
Yeah, it's a big old bottle. You probably have a big party.
Is that like a Jeroboam or is that the...
Jeroboam depends on the area. It's usually 6 bottles, could be 5.
Mm-hmm. So that could be the 6-liter Jeroboam. By the way, I'd like to say, I think it was Brian. Brian sent me a bottle of a whiskey from Breckenridge. It was called Breckenridge. And he wanted me to taste this. It's made in Colorado.
Okay.
And I think he's going to send you a bottle.
Okay, good.
And it was delicious. Little hot.
There's some good new vendors out there floating around. The guy, of course, is just starting off, so the equipment's new. I have this thing. I always said when you see a new winery come along, they have something. It's hard to describe it, but over the years, you get to saying, it tastes like a lot of new equipment.
Oh,
it's clean. It's got the buildup of microbes and gunk and mold and stuff that gets stuck in the pipes and all over the place. And it starts to take on a certain kind of a taste of a not as clean. And unless the guy who runs the place is a clean freak. Now, if that's the case, the wines always taste like new equipment. But there's not that many guys. They're pretty cleanly.
What do you prefer?
I like the clean wines.
Oh, because it's like, I was thinking it was like a barbecue. you know, a new barbecue, first time starting it up, throwing a steak on, not the same as something that's been seasoned for a year.
No, no. The barbecue is a little different, but
if you're interested, I have an investment scheme.
Oh,
related to whiskey and wines. That I'll talk to you on off air. It's in its, when I say infancy, I've seen it. I think it's fascinating, and it's doable.
Count me in.
Yep. All right, what do we got here? You missed this one. Last week, a story was making the rounds about the level of male testosterone and trading. So the comparison of the amount of male
testosterone. Yes, we actually did this story on the No Agenda Show. It's a ludicrous story.
Ludicrous. There was a couple of different studies. One was they studied hedge fund managers and traders by pictures that they found in Facebook, measuring like the distance between their eyes and their cheeks and stuff to assume the amount of testosterone. Then there was another one by this one, which was issued in the Proceedings of National Academy of Sciences, where they donated saliva samples over an 8-day period at different times during the day and then look at their transactions and their profitability.
Sounds like bogus science to me.
I guess anybody can get a grant for anything.
I wonder what kind of levels they get if they took a picture of Janet Napolitano.
You're bad.
Just a thought.
Yeah, yeah. High testosterone. What a traitor. She's a unbelievable. Last week, also, Amazon said that it now has more than 100 million Amazon Prime members globally.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you had the opportunity to read the annual shareholder letter by Jeff Bezos, but pretty impressive. I thought it was impressive.
Why?
He just talked about the culture of Amazon, client first, what it takes to have a place that always is looking for bettering themselves, doing the right thing for the client, you know, the customer, and just the whole various things that they've done throughout the years and that they strive to do in order to make sure that they maintain a high level of consistency and experience and also a high level of a workplace environment that breeds all of that. So there's a link. I put the link of the actual letter.
I'll take a look at it. I have somebody. I know somebody that works there.
Yeah, and? It's like one of the most wanted places to work of any company in the world.
Well, I suppose. Who knows why?
Yeah. Facebook earnings on tap this week on Wednesday. Sheryl Sandberg said a few Facebook advertisers have paused spending. Some advertisers were waiting for the company to answer questions on user privacy. By the way, you know, you could download your Google user history. Are you aware of this?
Yes. In fact, you're talking about Facebook, you mean?
Nope. Google, actually.
Oh, yeah. No, you can do both Google and Facebook. You can get all kinds of cool stuff from them.
About your history.
I don't have an account, but my daughter did.
I put in a request to download my Google data or my Google user information and my history or whatever.
Yeah.
This morning. I'm still waiting. It's still running in the background. It must be clogging up their system or something.
What have you done?
I don't know. I have no. That's what I'm about to find out.
They probably, as soon as you made the request, they looked at it and said, oh, my God, we got to call the FBI.
So they send it to you by email with a link and all this, but it could be very large. So it could take hours to days to generate. So I'm thinking this is all of my Google searches that I've done over the years.
Yeah.
When I was logged into... As you know, into my Gmail account when my system was logged in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Back to tariffs real quickly. The Beige Book, the Fed Beige Book was out, which looks at a variety of cities around the country and looks at all the different information, usually talking about growth. The U.S. economy may still be expanding with, they talk about, the modest to moderate pace. But there was a new theme that seemed to be very much ingrained in all of the reports from the various Beige Book the Federal Reserve Beige Book subdivisions around the country. And it was the word tariffs. The word tariff appeared 36 times in the report compared to a zero in the prior survey, which...
That's interesting.
Well, that's interesting on one hand. On the other hand, I'm not sure how much tariffs were really out there a month ago when the last report came out. So, you know, if you talk about, wow, you know, all of a sudden we're seeing a lot of searches for earthquake. Well, and if it hasn't been an earthquake in 10 years and all of a sudden there is one, you're going to see a lot more searches.
Yeah, that'd be my guess.
So I don't know if this is an issue of, you know, I'm not sure what the story is here. We're walking back sanctions on Russia already. Remember, we had the sanctions we actually talked about a couple of weeks ago, buying the Russian ETF because, you know, they were hit by Rusal, the bigger aluminum right. producer, was hit with sanctions. And now we're back to, you know, walking things back that we're going to look into this.
It sounds to me like somebody's manipulating the market.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of chest pounding with limited follow through. That's what Alcoa got hit by 12% on the news. And we're also seeing that China is maybe walking back some of their hardcore reaction to the tariffs and making it easier for American cars to be brought into the country. One of the reasons probably it is also is because they're really trying to ramp up the exporting of Chinese cars. They're doing that to Europe right now and they're trying to get it over to the United States as well. So more retailers are tossing in the towel. The Kardashians. I don't think we've ever talked about the Kardashians
before. We have never mentioned that name on the show ever.
And maybe we can make a commitment and promise to each other that after we do it this time, we won't do it ever again.
Okay.
The Kardashians announced that they're pulling the plug on their fashion boutique chain, Dash.
Yeah, never heard of it.
I heard of it from a friend that's... I have a friend in New Jersey, and she is... She loves watching like the Real Housewives of New Jersey and the Kardashians, and she's nuts like that. loves it. It's like my grandfather who used to watch wrestling and swore it was real. Crazy.
Yes, crazy.
Amazon, you probably saw this today, is a new story out that the Amazon Key in Car program is available to Prime members.
Yes, I heard this. You know, I have to wonder if they're serious about some of this stuff.
37 metro cities. Basically what happens is it works the same as same day or 2 day and standard shipping rates. You don't have to be signed up for the door program, which is a different one, to use the car delivery program. So there's a door program they have too, which they can break into, I mean, open the door of your house and leave things in your house. This is the car delivery program. What they're going to do is there's no installation costs, but you need to have a compatible 2015 or newer Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, or Cadillac with an active OnStar account. You could also use the 2015 Volvo vehicle with a Volvo on-call. So what happens is something like they tap into your account. When they get to your thing, you could authorize it when they get there, and then they can pop your trunk or your back seat or whatever and throw the package in there for you.
Why?
I guess people are just that lazy that they can't get it delivered to their office and walk it out to their car.
Unbelievable.
Some people are like, oh, nobody will ever use this. I'm like, you know what?
People, a lot of people will use it.
Yeah, people use Grubhub, which charge you an exorbitant rate to deliver. Plus, they charge you like a $7 card swipe fee because they're just so goddamn lazy. They put all their information on the internet for everybody to view because they just don't care. These are the people that are going to use this.
Yeah, I agree.
Nuts. All right, moving along. Well, we mentioned, by the way, that if you do love the show, or if you're just making some money from the show, we got some people that wrote me in recently that they made a chunk of dough.
Yeah? Did they buy a t-shirt?
They did. They sent, actually some whiskey. We talked about that. And they sent in donations. And so if there's any entertainment value from what you're getting from this, or if you are, you know, just loaded and feel like giving up some of your excess.
That'd be good.
Yeah, you can, of course, make a donation. One of the things that we have going on right now is a very special offer. So if you donate the price of the show, so this is show number 405. So if you donate the price of the show, we will send you a shirt and we will sign it.
If you donate the number of the show, 405, so it's $405.
Yeah, we'll send you the shirt in your size directly to you and we'll both sign it and send it to you so you have it for a memento, a collector's edition.
You can frame it and put it in your sports bar.
Yeah, that's perfect. On those in those shadow box things.
Yeah.
I can see it. So you just go over to DH Unplugged. You click on the donate. If you do the amount that's the show, we'll know automatically. Please put in the notes the size of the shirt that you want. We have several people that have actually done this And they're ecstatic about it because the only other way to get a shirt is to win the Close to the Pin competition.
Right. And there's only 12 people.
12 people.
That's one a month.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Although you could have a repeat. Yes, these shirts. And we want to mention to people that we are still working on the technology for signing the shirts properly. So the shirts have not gone out yet, but I think my wife finally came up with the right idea, which is it turns out first I went to an arts and crafts store. No, I went to an arts store, and they don't know any, they don't have it, but arts and crafts places like Michael's seem to have they know how to do it. And that's the latest thing.
So you have all those extra pens I sent you.
Yes. Now I have a million. I would give them away because
you put those in with the shirts.
Could do that.
You have a box. I have a box.
One of the most, one of the best pens you can own is a silver Sharpie.
Right.
They're very handy.
Yep. Yep. Especially for that. That's what we did. Well, it's time for Fed Limericks, and we have a variety of entries this week, and we have a special entry as well. We have a celebrity entry this week. No kidding. So let's start with this, and you'll grade them. Of course, in the chat room, you can do me a favor. All as I'm reading this, since you're a little bit delayed in the chat room by a few seconds listening to this, but you can grade it also. So I'm going to start out with one that I wrote. Here we go.
Okay. You the celebrity?
No. No, I'm not. The group that sets rates is the Fed. They have the power to move markets, it is said. When markets do well, they take credit and yell, the chance of a recession is dead.
Excellent.
Oh. See, I look forward to these things too because I'm, I know you're a little harsh on the.
I give you an A minus.
Ooh, an A minus for AH. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. This one's from Derek Glennie.
By the way, I would say that my harsh grading has resulted in better quality.
Yes, it's a good point. We're trying to up the standard. Everybody that's involved is upping the standard. Derek Glennie, the Fed watches over the nation. They look for any signs of inflation. The job report they lament. So we're at full employment, but Shadowstats debunks the foundation.
Yeah, that falls apart here and there. Lament and employment, it's a little too much. Foundation debunks their foundation. Meh. I mean, I think I think it's a good. The thinking is good, but I'm only going to give it a C plus.
Okay. The next one is from our celebrity limericker, or whatever you call him. He's a limerick king on Twitter. All he does is write limericks on Twitter.
Yeah, you get good at it.
Yeah, so somebody kind of pushed him our way, and I asked his permission, and he said he'll put this one in. Volcker combated inflation. Greenspan corrupted the nation. Bernanke saved fraud. Volcker combated inflation. Greenspan corrupted the nation. Bernanke saved fraud. Old Yellen just awed. Now Powell will unleash devastation.
Excellent.
Oh, there you go.
See, I give him an A.
See, oh, there you go. Oh, he beat me. Last one is from Simon Davies. Markets don't reflect how we feel. With valuations light years from real. The VIX going higher. My predictions are dire with the Fed being drunk at the wheel.
Oh, that's. I think that's very cute. And I would give that one because of the balance could have been a little better, but I'll give it a B+.
B+. So we had our average here is like B.
B
for this one. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's great. So if you want to send those in, just go over to the Disciplined Investor. We have a way that you could just pop in just to ask Andrew or send it to dhemail@gmail.com. There we go. By the way, I skipped last week and people were freaking out. They love limericks. They love limericks.
Well, you didn't have anyone to grade them.
Right, that's true. We're announcing the winner of the Closest to the Pin competition for Home Depot. You and I came in 2.65% and 2.64% away from the actual final price. You were high, I was low.
That's very funny.
You know? So
yeah, we're off by the same percentage, but on different sides of the spectrum. Exactly. It's very, very, very unusual.
Now,
I was more optimistic.
Yes, you were. But everything faded the last day is what happened last Friday. The average price for the group was $176.05 for the 100 people or so that put in their their guesses. The final stock price was 177.01.
Yeah.
The winner, Tony D'Abruzzi.
See, I said that. D'Abruzzi.
Yeah, my pal there, Tony D'Abruzzi.
Hey, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he won. Tony won. Yeah. Tony won. He came in at 176.46, 0.31% away. Robert W. came in second, 0.33% away. He was 4 cents off. Yep. 4 cents off. And if you look down that on this area on DH Unplugged on the show notes, you'll see a picture of actually the DH Unplugged t-shirt being modeled. Have you seen this picture before?
Didn't you have it before, once before?
I did, but I just put it up there so you can see it. Yeah. So that's what the shirts look like if anybody's interested. And if you are interested in, of course, donating and buying, just go over to... by the way, we don't know how long we're going to do this. So if you want a shirt, I would suggest you do the donation thing. Or unless you feel like you could win. We'll have some other close to the pins announced.
It's so hard to win. They are so hard.
It is. China's earthquake... Back to the news. And now, back to the news. China's Earthquake Administration, which... By the way, just to be said, there's a thing called the China's Earthquake Administration.
Yeah, they administer earthquakes. Yeah,
exactly. we'll have one next Tuesday. Can somebody order one up for next Tuesday, please? China's Earthquake Administration said on Friday that it had accidentally reported 2 major quakes, which in fact never happened.
How does that work?
I don't know. Saying that there were drills that have been unintentionally released to the public. Last Thursday... They said on their website there was two 6.5 magnitude quakes just 10 seconds apart at opposite ends of the country in the far west region of Xinjiang in the southwest province of Yunnan. So there you go. And probably those people are like, I didn't feel anything. That was an earthquake? I didn't feel anything.
Huh. Well, we got lucky, Mabel.
Yep. Mabel. Leftovers from last week. There's a whole interesting thing about Facebook's privacy. U.S. federal judge ruled on last Monday, that Facebook must face a class action lawsuit alleging that the social media network unlawfully created facial templates for people without their permission. So this is, if you know how the photos work in Facebook, in Facebook, you could tag people.
Yeah, doesn't Google do the same thing?
I think Google does it, and so does Apple, but it's inside your phone. Which I'm not sure if they're keeping that. You know, in other words, you can tag people, and then once you do that, it recognizes all the faces. It's kind of a cool feature, actually. It recognizes all the faces of the people that meet that facial recognition. So you look up somebody like my mom, click on the little folder that says mom, and all the pictures of mom shows up. It kind of comes in handy,
I guess.
But there's concern that they did that without people's permission. So, you know, one more time that... Facebook is, by the way, full disclosure, I'm personally short Facebook.
Are you now?
Yep. Yes. Yep. The next one I'm short also, Tesla. On Monday said it was, I'm short for clients. I'm also short in the form of a put, a very outside the money put on Tesla. It said last week.
You're going for the big dough.
Oh, I got a very outside the money put. If it happens, it'll be great. It ain't going to get down that low. I just need to kind of plow down a bit.
Nah, you just play the put.
Yeah. Monday it said it's planning downtime on Model 3 production. And of course, you know, they're talking about, well, the reason we're taking the place down is to make it better so that we can produce more. Which is possible. It's possible.
It's bull crap.
Everything's bull crap. I mean, you know, now they're trying to get 6,000 cars pumped out per week at the end of June. They can't even
like to know what's really wrong. No one's explained it.
There's a lot of things going on. There's a whole thing about their use of parts that are substandard.
Subpar.
Yeah, subpar parts. And then there's also something about some hiring practices and some things there. I mean, this, by the way, this little section is the bullshit section of news. Next one up, GoPro. Jumped 8% after a report that Chinese electronics maker Xiaomi has weighed whether or not to make an offer for the action camera maker, which I don't know why they would do that because they have a knockoff that's a lot cheaper and better. Or maybe not better. But
they want it for the mailing list.
Maybe. I don't know what they need that for. But, of course, that was proved not to be true also.
No, it was just a scam.
Yep. Dick's Sporting Goods, this is great PR in my opinion, is destroying its inventory of unsold assault rifles in the wake of its decision to quit selling firearms. Yep.
Why would it do that?
Right. Usually they return the unsold merchandise to the manufacturer, but Dix is opting to destroy the weapons. Why are they doing that? Because they can make a big flim-flam of it. Look at how great we are. Yes, we sold millions.
How about this for an idea?
Yeah.
I just discussed this in the other forums. The police, you know, they round up all these crazy weapons from gangs and then they grind them up and they powder them and all the rest. And then now in this case, we have the unsold weapons are going to be destroyed. How about in both these instances, if you're going to just throw them away anyway, give them to the police.
Or give them to the army. Yeah.
Or the army.
Yeah.
I agree. The army doesn't use these, but the police would use them. They'd be happy to have them.
And probably good for training. There's probably a lot of good things.
They're good for a lot of stuff. The police might use them. I mean, give them to the police. Why are you just throwing good stuff away? Makes no sense.
Yeah. You can give them to the teachers in schools.
Give them to kindergartners. Yeah. See what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. on the same note of kind of weird stuff that's going on, the same company that creates ETFs, you know, their big ETF, the biggest ETF group, this is BlackRock. They said recently they're not going to buy any gun companies that sells to retail customers. So they're creating a whole grouping of ETFs that are non-gun owned. You know, no gun companies owned.
Who's going to invest? They're trying to attract what kind of investor?
Crazy. I don't know. It's like the person that's, yes. Oh, no, I don't have any gun companies in my portfolio. But this is the same company that just after that raised its bet on Facebook in March, saying that it's the top 10 equity holding, apparently betting that Facebook's privacy scandal will not weigh on the stock. So on one hand, it's like, okay, well, it's okay if we come up with a socially relevant theme to cut down on the gun companies that sell to retailers. But those companies that are stealing our data and then possibly involved in election fraud and all that—they're okay. They're okay because you know what? You don't have people marching in the streets on it. Terrible. Whole thing's stupid.
Terrible. Stupid. These people should be ashamed of themselves.
Stupid. What is John C. Dvorak writing for PC Magazine?
Well, I should comment on the last two columns because you didn't find out last time.
Good point. Yeah, that's right.
Well, today's column, which went in today, probably running Thursday. Was my bitching and moaning about the, because I remember all this. Back in the 90s, around 97, I think, all these companies were coming out, Quest Decks and Super Pages, Super Yellow, InfoSpace, Bigfoot. All these companies where you can look up a phone number.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, they were all over the place. Oh, we're going to just kick butt here with all these things. None of them work anymore. They all bailed out except Yellow Pages. And even the White Pages, which was you could have found a phone number on maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. Now, if you go look for the phone number on whitepages.com, they tell you you got to get subscribed to premium services.
Right. Yeah. It's a major bait and switch to all those companies now.
They're all bait and switch.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I bitched and moaned.
And that was this week. What's last week?
Last week, I called it, I think, Google You're Next. And it was about, I'd gone over, if you go to look at the Google Maps app in the Google App Store, you can look and see what the requirements are. In other words, what they're going to want from you. And I just listed them and started to complain about them. They want everything but your second child just to use an app that's a navigation app. You should look at it. It's disgusting. You should take a read this column because it outlines all of these requirements you have to. They basically take over your phone. They can make calls. They can use SMS. They can, you know, dial out. It's just unbelievable.
Isn't that the same issue that you're talking about in a different level with all the apps that are available that have requested your access on like Facebook and on the Apple phone too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why they let that happen? What is that all about?
Because the public doesn't care.
Public doesn't care. So why do you care?
Well, I care.
I mean, the bottom line is, I guess
I don't like to drag these things around. They're little spying devices. Why am I?
That's exactly right. That's exactly
voluntarily
what it is.
Giving away all my privacy. I don't care. Let them take my phone contacts and contact them all.
But here's a question: is the privacy issue more of mine and your generation? And for some reason, maybe we were wrong about caring about that. What's the big deal about the privacy? Seriously.
the big deal about privacy is that it leads to a culture of blackmail, not blackmailing you. People say, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. I don't care. That's not the point. If everybody knows everybody else's business at some level that where they're knowing secrets and then they can blackmail people, they can get a hold of the congressional, some congressman's, you know, dirty laundry because everyone's so lax about their privacy and find out that maybe this congressman's blackmailable. So then he has to vote yes on certain things. That affects you. That affects me. That affects everybody who thinks it's no big deal.
The problem is this whole generation, though, is, I mean, listen, there was a time when the thought of a president doing any kind of drugs or smoking pot was like, oh, my God, you know, oh, my God, that's terrible. I'm thinking, you know, if you haven't tried a president's coming through this stage of life, if you haven't tried pot, there's something wrong with you. You know, I'm just saying there's a different level of acceptability from a social standpoint of things. I'm not necessarily arguing. I'm playing the devil's advocate here, but because I do believe that it's important to have privacy and it's enough of everybody.
Well, it's not taught in school. Nobody wants to present it. The way it's taught in school is that, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. Therefore, who cares? That is the wrong argument. It's not about you.
And until somebody gets hit with the fact that we're not hiring you because we saw you doing something, you know, unacceptable.
Oh, yeah, some of those pictures on Flickr.
Right.
You look like a drunk. We're not hiring you.
Yeah, until that happened. And then you can't take that back, by the way. Right? And you could possibly try to take that stuff down, but you don't know where else that's.
Good luck.
Yeah, you don't know where else that's playing out. That's the problem. Yep, I agree. Well, let's get to the stocks from our grousing session here and talk about what's going on with these. I will like to say that I am very agitated about something, but let me just first mention that this is a game that we play. It's not an offer to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any sort of any kind in any manner. It's just simply some ideas that we come up with and we track them. You can find these over on DH Unplugged under the weekly stock list. Just go over there. It's a weekly, it's a daily or minute-by-minute update of the actual picks, how they're doing, what stopped out, what the performance is. If you decide for whatever reason to, in fact, invest in any of these names, any of these things, go see some very qualified financial professional. Do your research. John C. Dvorak, myself, Horowitz Company clients may own any of the products that or stocks that we talk about here. We'll duly note them in the disclosures. Now, that being said, I'm aggravated about Sleep Number.
Yeah, I see that you've been kicked out of a couple of stocks and you weren't doing that bad.
Not only that, Sleep Number careened down. I got kicked out of 36.91. I think it's 29. After the earnings came out, they got smoked.
Oh, you've been way up.
So aggravated.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Oh, very aggravated. J-Nug's doing well, up 11.5%.
Almost everything is green. This is not a bad, except for the ones that got bounced, except for my one screwball penny stock. That's ruining it for everyone.
Yeah, but that's you mentioned it was at 50 cents when you got it, and you said I'm taking it down to 30, which is like a 40% reduction.
Yeah, so I'm still at 30, and yeah. I'm just at 35. It could go up.
Right. U.S. Steel long is actually doing well, up 8.5%. Facebook short is Facebook long is up 5.3%. I was kicked out of the Facebook last week. Church & Dwight, the condom maker, was out. Sleep Number's out. Editas Medical finally is out, up 4.73%. Tesla short is up 5.5%. The Rusal, which is the RUSL, the three-time Russia long, is up 19%.
Not bad.
And the single, which I don't know why we did this, but we did, is up 6%. So that makes sense.
I think I just wanted to follow the two of them.
Yeah, this is doing well.
And I mean, funny that when this 3X is 3X, is, you know, it usually doesn't do that.
Yeah, it's actually more than 3X, isn't it?
Well, it's about 3X.
Well, it's also where it opened that morning because it could have, you know, that day we buy it on the open. Entercom is up 7.8. So, yeah, no, it's a good, very impressive list here. Now, I do not have any, with the earnings season going on and some of the craziness, I had a couple of ideas of things, but I'm going to lay off this week on some picks. So I'm going to leave it to you.
Well, I don't really have anything.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, I was looking at there's some interesting things floating around. I mean, have you ever looked at the chart for tech, TECH?
Let me go there. Control-C, TECH, chart.
Every time I've seen a chart like this and I get in, which I'm tempted to do, it ends.
Oh, TCH stock price.
I mean, look at this thing. It's like straight. It's like a.
It's Biotechnine Corp. Biotechnine Corp. What is that? Biotechnine, right? Hello?
Yeah, they do. You know, it's. Yes, you hear me?
Now I hear you.
I'm here.
So it's Biotechnine.
Yeah. Let's see what this Biotechnine.
Oh, yeah. Look at that chart.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
Yeah. I'm looking at about a 1 year period here. And yeah, it's looking, it's went from $100 to $152. It's a holding company for biotechnology and clinical diagnostic brands. It was founded in 76 and it changed its name to Biotechnine in 2014. They own Novus Biologics, Protein Sample, and a bunch of other stuff. Biolab, R&D Systems, Scientific Ventures.
I don't like.
They own a bunch of stuff.
I don't like it's at the top of the of this channel that it's in, but geez,
yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Well,
it's
I think I'll put it on the thing. Just see what happens.
TECH, and is this going to be a lark?
This is a lark.
A lark. Yeah, I know when you're doing your larks. Lark in there. Okay, lark. Okay, JCP. All right, we got that on there. Okay, there we go. Yeah. Okay, we got it on there. Perfect.
Okay, nothing else.
All right, we'll talk next week. By the way, I think I told you, May, I think it's the 15th. May 15th, I'll be in New York, but I'm bringing my whole rig with me.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I might have done a short solo show and I catch up with you.
Oh, you could do that if you want, but which will be fine.
No. I'd rather not.
I'm going to bring my rig with me. I got everything kind of, I got a new mixing board, work with Adam on a few things, got a laptop that's working on this, so we got all this stuff working. And I'm going to be up there because the Benzinga FinTech Awards is going to be up there. All these FinTech.
You're winning?
No, I'm up there actually as a guest coming up with my rig to do podcasts of a lot of the speakers. I have private interviews with them. So I have.
Oh, nice.
So right now they're setting up.
You can pad your podcast.
This is right. So I have the founder and the current CEO of Ripple, you know, the coin. I have the head guy from IBM's Watson division. I have someone from Barron's newspaper, which will be fun. And there's a bunch of other names that I'll be meeting with. So we may be planning a meetup. I'm not sure how my schedule is going to be working. If anybody wants to possibly get together up in New York, I know a couple of people reached out to me. You know, if I don't hear from at least 10 or 12 people or not, because you get 10 or 12 people, five show up. Right? Know how it works?
Well, it's hard to say. You'd be surprised.
Well, if you do want to get together, I think it's the 15th or 16th of May or somewhere right around this, like the Tuesday, the Wednesday, Monday night, I may have some availability. Maybe that's the 14th. You know, kind of send me a note that you want to do so. I need somebody to, I think Dame Tanya will be planning it.
Nice.
We'll see. Anyway, all right. We'll talk next week.
Okay, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.